ready for the word this morning? Before we get into this, I didn't get this message until this morning, but it's something that's been stirring in me for really several weeks, and really Friday night it actually manifested. We're going to talk about living in the presence of God, but I've got a long ways to go to get to it. So this is going to be kind of an interesting service. I'm hoping we get all the way through what I want to cover this morning, but if not, we're going to cover some interesting topics. And so go ahead and buckle your seatbelts. Say, I'm here for the long haul. We're going to receive this. Amen. And we're going to cover some stuff your mind may want to tilt. Just tell it, be still and know that He is God, and it'll be okay. Amen. So that being said, let's go ahead and start. Open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We're very familiar with Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17, where it says, if you be led of the Spirit, then are you the sons of God, right? Verse 17, if sons, and if children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. And we know that we're to be led of the Spirit. We know we're to be in relationship with God. We know in this relationship, the Holy Spirit is teaching us how to live in God's kingdom, how to manifest God's blessings. God wants you to live above the natural. That's what supernatural is. He wants you to live in that realm of God's blessing, and even to the place where you live under the continual influence of His anointing. We've been talking for weeks Sunday mornings about the anointing of God. And God wants you to do more than just carry an anointing that makes change. He wants you to experience the anointing, to live in God's presence, to be able to be mentally aware and connected to God at all times. Did you follow me on that? I mean, God lives in you if you're saved, right? Yet it's amazing how many Christians and how much time even all of us have times we're oblivious to God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In other words, we're doing our thing. We're not even aware of God's presence, His indwelling. You know, we know that because of some of the things that we may say or act on or react to, that we're not aware that the God of all creation lives inside of us. Amen? And the God of all creation that lives inside of us wants to manifest to the outside. And He wants to partner with us in a fashion we're always aware of His presence, His love, His peace, and His power. God wants to inundate us with His goodness. God wants us blessed. Amen. And we want to be those that learn how to go into that blessing. Now, Scriptures tell us what it takes. It takes to have your mind renewed by the Word of God. Line upon line, precept upon precept, we go from faith to faith and glory to glory. Now, what's it mean, glory to glory? Does it mean, you know, that you just kind of have a good thing happen, you go, glory? You know, somebody brings you, you know, a birthday present, glory? That's more than just, you know, one, you know, just experience where you go, glory. I believe where it says we go from glory to glory represents levels of living under the influence of God's presence and anointing at higher and higher concentrations, at greater and greater types of manifestation. Are you following me? See, the Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not. He got so caught up walking with God, God says, you're closer to me than you are to earth. Let's just come on up here. And he became the first person ever raptured off the planet. Amen? That's one of the ways we know the rapture is real, because God, the first person that drew close to God at that level, God took him up in a rapture. Moses carried so much of the glory of God because he spent 40 days on Mount Sinai with God. No food, no water. How many know it's supernatural? Amen. And came down shining with the glory of God. What's happening? Men were experiencing higher levels of concentrated manifestations of God's presence. And the Bible says we have a better covenant than Moses. Amen. With better promises. God doesn't want us just surviving this life. He wants us manifesting Him on this earth. And guess what? There is no more fulfilling nor pleasurable experience you will ever know than to be caught up in God's presence. I'm telling you, to be literally caught up with Him, there is a fulfillment that natural man cannot experience. And I tell you what, we were tapping into it Friday night at All Night Prayer. We didn't get all the way in where we wanted, but we were on the edge, and it was like we were on the edge going into this area of being caught up in and out of it the whole night. And, oh, hallelujah. I've been caught up to that in that realm ever since to some level. Driving over here this morning, I'm just sitting there like vegging in God's presence. Vegging in God's presence doesn't sound right. Amen. Marinating, that's better. Amen. Marinating more applies to meat, and I want the meat of the word, not the veggies. Don't give me a veggie burger. I'm not eating a veggie burger. Amen. Marinating in God's presence. And I believe as we proceed closer and closer to the rapture time, we're going to go into those that have a heart, those that will apply themselves, those that will say, God, use me. Amen. Are going to go into higher and higher levels of living in that manifested presence of God. But it's got to be those that are led of the Spirit. Those that are letting God have His way in their life and is letting God teach them about kingdom living. But I want to go on to verse number 18 here for a little bit. It says, for I reckon, this is Paul writing, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now here's Paul saying God's going to reveal His glory in us. In Colossians chapter 1, he says, I want to reveal to you a mystery hidden from ages and generations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of God that's in you, that came into you when you got saved, wants to keep developing you spiritually until He can manifest the full glory of God through you, through us, individually and corporately. It says, for the earnest expectation, don't you love the King James? The anticipation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. To better word this, it says creation as anticipating is earnestly yearning for the sons of God to move into their called positions, to move into the power of God, to manifest the anointing of God. See, when Adam fell, the glory of God was stripped from this planet. At one time, this planet was under the influence of the glory of God. Adam and Eve in the garden were not clothed naturally. They were clothed spiritually. They were clothed supernaturally. They were clothed in God's glory. Amen. And when Adam fell and death entered this planet and the curse was manifested, the glory was stripped off of creation. And now creation is earnestly travailing, groaning. All creation desires the return of that glory. Yeah. But how's it coming? It's coming through the same vessel that Satan used to strip the glory from the planet. It's coming through mankind. God is returning His glory through us into the earth. Oh, glory to God. And this created realm is looking forward to the return of that glory. See, I believe at one time, before the fall, this earth was charged with the atmosphere of God's glory. God's presence inundated everything around. Amen? And there was harmony in all of creation. But since the fall, now there's corrosion, corruption, decline, decay, entropy, and death. And creation saying, return to me, my former state. Bring me back to the place I was before man sinned. And God brought Jesus Christ in the form of a man to pay the price to allow creation to be restored. And now God is using His church, His people, His sold out remnant, to be the returners of that former glory. Now, I wanted to open this up this morning with, you know, an introductory statement saying, we're going to get out there this morning. Amen. I mean, this is one I don't know if I want to put on television or not, because we may get so far out there this morning that, you know, people already think you're crazy. And they hear us talking about manifesting the glory and creation desiring this return. They're going to think they've gone over the edge now. But I'm telling you what, too much of the church still wants Jesus to be the little baby in the bassinet. You know, they still want to keep, you know, the Bible limited to children's stories. If we're still just talking about Bible stories instead of the depth of the content of the infinite Word of God and the capacity within that Word to transform us, then we're still in childhood state. I mean, praise God for the story of Noah's Ark. And Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho. Amen. I mean, praise God. Those have tremendous value. But it's not just knowing the story. It's knowing the rhema of the Word of God contained in those stories. And God wants to elevate us into maturity. And a mature Christian, I'm talking about one that is fully developed, will be manifesting the full presence of God. The fruit of the Spirit, amen, the love of God, all the anointings of God, and God is taking us in that direction. Does anybody want to go? Can I stretch you this morning in this realm to believe that you can carry the glory of God? That you can function out of the supernatural provision and power of God. It says in verse 20, for the creature or creation was made subject to vanity or powerlessness, emptiness. Not willingly, creation didn't want to go into decline. Man brought this state upon the creation. But by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, in other words, creation is desiring to go back to where it was. It has a hope of returning to its former glory. It doesn't want to be powerless. Creation doesn't want to fall apart. It doesn't want to be in decline. It wants to return. And it's waiting for us to manifest God's glory to bring that restoration. God said in Joel 2, He'll restore everything that destruction has caused to fall apart. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Creation is going to be restored through the children of God. The bondage of corruption and decline is going to be removed through the children of God, learning the liberty they have to go into God's presence, to go into the anointings of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Amen. And not only they, but ourselves also, which had the first fruits of the Spirit. Creation desires the glory. Jesus said when he entered into Jerusalem, and all the people were saying, Hail, you know, to the King. Hail the Messiah. And the religious leaders said, Silence! Don't you know all these people are praising you? And Jesus said, if these people didn't praise me, the rocks would cry out. I mean, it's a paraphrased version. The rocks would cry out if the people didn't praise me right now. Well, I'm telling you what. The rocks are crying out right now. The creation is crying out right now for the glory of God to manifest. And if rocks are crying out for it, surely the children of God should be crying out for it. He says creation cries out, and we also cry out within ourselves for the manifestation of the glory. Your earnest, heartfelt prayer should be when you go to God, is God, clothe me in glory. Manifest yourself through me. Use me, empower me. Let me live in your kingdom's atmosphere. Are we stretching you too far yet? It's available. It's available. And I'm telling you, when there's something good available from God, I want it. I want all of it. And I might be somewhat impatient, but I want it now.
Right.
Amen. Amen. It's like the man that prayed to God says, God, I want patience and I want it now. We should be crying out, not just to survivor circumstances and situations we're in. That's where oppression and the curse and worldly circumstances, conditions, just want to keep us in that place of just trying to get out of the bondage. And God says, I want you more than just out of bondage. I want you into the liberty of the glory of God. Cry for the glory. Call for the glory. Demand, using your faith, the manifestation of the glory of God. Amen. We should be crying out for it more than the rocks. Now, I'm going to try to put this together this morning. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. Now, you know the story of all the 12 disciples, right? And Revelation was penned by John the Beloved. John is the disciple above all the others that got the revelation of the love of God. When you read the book of John, it's amazing. It's amazing how John referred to himself. You read the book of John, it'll talk about all the disciples. You know, there was Matthew and Peter and, you know, James and all these other disciples. And when John would talk about himself, he'd say, and the disciple whom Jesus loved.
Amen.
Amen. You know, in my household, I have my wife, Patty, my daughters, Amy and Lori, and the Father whom Jesus loves. Can you imagine going around calling yourself that? You know, you go to work and, you know, everybody's got Tim on their name badge and, you know, and John and the disciple who Jesus loves on your name badge. He had a revelation of the love of God. Of the disciples, 11 of the 12 assigned disciples were all martyred. Our understanding of history says they were all martyred, except for John. John, they tried to kill. Traditions say they boil him in oil and they couldn't kill him. They tried repeatedly to execute him. They couldn't kill him. He had a revelation of the love of God. Divine protection. This is the way the stories go. You follow me? We don't have scripture to back it up. We just have historical, you know, declarations. And so, because they couldn't kill him, they exiled him. The island of Patmos. Amen? And on this island, he has an encounter with Jesus Christ where he's given the book of Revelation to pen. All dealing, for the most part, with end time events. Amen? I mean, in John, we have a record of the tribulation and great tribulation. Amen? Of the white throne judgment, the bema seat judgment. We have these mysteries given over to us. Amen. And John is the one that he lived out his natural days, maybe even beyond. And it's believed when he wrote the book of Revelation, he was in his 90s. So he's up there. Amen. And he's learning to move into the presence of God. Hallelujah. And it says over in chapter 1, let's start at verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Verse 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. So here's John And he's caught up in the Spirit. Now, let me rephrase it. It says he was in the Spirit. I believe there's a difference between being caught up in the Spirit and in the Spirit. There are people that get caught up in the Spirit, and all of a sudden they're like in heaven. You know, we know that Paul was caught up in the Spirit, where he says, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. I cannot tell, but I was caught up to the third heaven. He was caught up spiritually. That is one level of being caught up. I have talked to many people that have been caught up to heaven. Amen. Pastor Philip Derber says he was caught up to heaven. I was with him that day. Came up to him right after it happened. He said, I was just taken to heaven. And God spoke to him and said, this was in 1997, September of 1997. And the Lord showed him a vision of 5 golden nuggets. And he was at the feet of Jesus. And the Lord said, from this day forth, from this point on, I do everything in acceleration. Oh, I'm telling you. We had another prophet come in like a week later to church after he gave this announcement and come in and say, the Lord told me he's doing from this point on everything in acceleration. And we knew that we'd heard from God. God's accelerating everything in these end times. And that was in 97. The accelerator has now stuck to the floor. I was following, this would have been in 2001. We were returning from Ocean Isle Beach in North Carolina. We've been on a vacation with the Shriners, Jim Shriner. And make that clear. And we were returning, and I'm in my 87 van at the time. And he's in his Cadillac, and about this time, he just starts taking off, just flying. And so I speed up my van, and I'm humming. That van's to the floor. I'm coming in on traffic, and it's all, I'm just barely keeping up with him. Finally, he pulls over to the side. I pull him by and says, I said, Jim, this van won't hardly go that fast. His cruise control had stuck wide open. His something in the electronics went bad, and it was wide open, stuck. And he couldn't do anything to get it to unstick until he finally just turned the key off. Drifted to the side of the road, you know, with a dead engine. So we pulled the fuse on the cruise control, and he drove home without cruise control, and it fixed it. But the point is the pedal was stuck. Amen. He was in wide open acceleration. And I believe that's where God's got us right now. For those that want to get on board of the car with the accelerator stuck, going into the glory of God, jump on. It's going to open your eyes. It's going to energize you. If you like adrenaline rushes, it's going to be the adrenaline rush of your life. It's going to be like jumping out of the plane without the parachute and hoping they put one on you before you hit the ground. Amen. God has accelerated things in these end times. And we have to be willing to adjust with God to go on this ride with Him. We can't lock in our life and saying, this is the way we do it. We've always done it like this. I'm not changing. We have to hear God. God, what do you want me to do to adjust today? What do I need to shift right now? What areas of my life am I holding back for you? What can I give over to you right now? God wants to accelerate us into the glory. Amen? So there's a catching up in the Spirit. But that's not the same as just being in the Spirit. And I don't know how to explain being in the Spirit, except to ex-drug users. Notice I said ex-drug users. I remember the first time I did illicit drugs. Amen? And it was of the type that you roll and you smoke. And I remember all of a sudden my mind shifted into another realm. Now, I'm not proposing this, you follow me? Because it's totally demonic in this fashion. And it will take you out. Amen. Took me out for 10 years of just stupidity. For the grace of God, amen, I was set free. But my mind shifted to another realm. And to some level, that is a counterfeit of being in the Spirit. Everything Satan offers with pharmaceuticals is a counterfeit of something God has in reality that is of benefit. And to be in the Spirit What happens is your mind actually shifts over. God comes on your thought process. Your mind shifts over. You're not seeing with natural eyes anymore. You are seeing and perceiving in the realm of the kingdom of God. You're kingdom alert, kingdom aware, and your entire life you've never looked in this fashion before. Did you follow me? And in the spirit, you may have visions, you may have encounters with God, but what you will have, I guarantee, is you will have revelation. You will have words of knowledge, words of wisdom. The gifts of the Spirit will be operating in your life. Faith will manifest at a level you've not known before when you get in the Spirit. Let me make this statement as starting out. We're to live in that area. John the Beloved on this day was in the Spirit. Amen? He is a forerunner of what God wants to do in His beloved bride in the end times to keep us in the Spirit. I believe God is bringing His glory on us in a fashion we stay in the Spirit mentally. I know this because when I've told you this story before, several years back, I was caught up in the Spirit for almost 2 straight weeks. Caught up in spiritual mindedness. Of in that realm of living in the glory of God, not the tangible, visible glory, but in the glory of God's presence at such a level that I've never had that happen before or after at that level. But I'm tasting it again. I tasted it again Friday night. I tasted it at some level on the way over here this morning. In fact, the past 3 weeks, God's been having me taste of this realm again that I was in for those 2 straight weeks, and now I'm going into it for a day. Coming out of it, going to it for an hour, coming out of it. 5 years ago, however long ago it's been when I was caught up, after I came out, God said, I've given you a taste of what I'm taking the church into. You follow me on this. And I have been craving it ever since. It's like that person that gets their first taste of some of the illicit pharmaceuticals. They get hooked on it. I'm hooked on the presence of God. Nothing else is going to work. I don't want regular life without the presence of God. Without that being in the Spirit. I've got to be there. And I'm telling you, we are in the time that God is opening the windows of heaven, the doors of the kingdom. For us to move in and stay in. And what a glorious place it is. It's the place of concentrated love. Concentrated peace. 100% fulfillment. And it's available to us right now. If you want to go in. Amen? And I believe that it's God's plan for us to be in this. All the time. In fact, I hope I can get some of these verses this morning. I don't know if I can or not. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Turn to Genesis. I'm just going to see where we end up. Genesis is our chapter 1 is our account of creation, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And God said, let there be light. And if we go on over to verse number 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. And let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Here it talks about in the original creation, God made firmaments. Amen? That divided waters from waters in heaven and the earth. And without taking a whole lot of time talking about the different firmaments it's referring to, it's believed by many creation scientists that in the beginning of creation, God actually put a firmament or a shell of water around the earth, in the air. Dr. Carl Ball, who has done extensive work in this area, has theorized this firmament. He has studied it, taught on it for many years, believes that I believe it was about 11 miles above the surface of the earth, God put a shell, a firmament of, I believe he talks about it being a hydrogen shell in a state of being that it becomes like a metallic shell. And it's a crystalline shell, I guess. And there were waters above it, waters beneath it. And what it actually did, it actually created a shell around the earth that allowed the earth to have concentrated atmospheric pressure and oxygen content. We know from the fossil records that the life types we have today are much different from the life types that existed in the past. Amen? Here we have a picture of that firmament. You see the earth? You see a water canopy over the earth held up, he believes, held up by the magnetic poles, the electromagnetic force causing it to be held up above the earth. And it allowed the earth's atmosphere to be pressurized. Now, the reason we want to talk about pressurized air and each even double oxygen content is because to support the life forms we know that are in the fossil record, you could not have atmospheric conditions like you have today. For example, can you put up the slide called Dragonfly Wing? This is a fossilized dragonfly wing, which, you know, doesn't look that impressive from this one slide. But if you understand the size of that wing, this would be a dragonfly with a 3-foot wingspan. Now, how would you like to be at the pond fishing and this thing buzz you? Wow! Amen? A 3-foot dragonfly. Put up the oysters. This is a picture of fossilized oysters. Do you see the man? Imagine the pearls in those. Put up the one called turtle. You can make some soup out of that one right there. Do you see the size of these animals? And then try salamander. I'm going through these quick just to give you a glimpse. That is the head of a giant salamander. Is it 6 foot long? I don't remember what the length of it is. A huge salamander. Amen? This one you turn over the rock? Amen? You might be backing up. Of course, it'd be a big rock. The record we have of insects in the fossil record that were huge, enormous, is phenomenal. And we know that in current atmospheric conditions, those insects couldn't live. Insects actually absorb oxygen through the pores in their skin. And at our current atmospheric pressure and oxygen content, they couldn't survive. You couldn't get enough oxygen into a large caterpillar like we have record of in today's conditions. So we know that you had to have a concentrated atmospheric pressure, and they believe greater oxygen content. Even studies of the dinosaur fossils. Dinosaurs were real. Amen. They roamed this planet. Show that the dinosaurs' breathing passages could not support a life form that large without extra oxygen content in the air. Amen. So we know there had to be something allow greater pressure and oxygen. And Dr. Ball and others have believed that the Bible lets us know through talking about the firmaments that a shell around the earth would cause that pressure to exist. You could increase the pressure, atmospheric pressure, to enable those life forms to exist. And this is what occurred. This is what was in existence in the time of Adam. Amen? And so we had an atmosphere around Adam and even his descendants that's unlike the atmosphere we have today. Now, Lord, help me try to make these points. I told you we were going to get into some stuff, so you guys are going to have to follow me. It's believed that you can follow the history of the creation from the beginning all the way through to eternity. It's spelled out in some level in the book of Genesis. Genesis is the book of beginnings, and God declares the beginning from the end. And you can follow in the book of Genesis everything God's going to do from there on to some level. It's going to be in that book. And if I follow beginning with creation and Adam, Adam starts out in the glorified realm. You follow? He's in the glory. He's under the firmament. He's in the glory. He's no curse on the planet whatsoever. That is a representation of what heaven's going to be like. He was in heavenly conditions then. In heaven, we're going to be in the glory of God. Amen. Heavenly atmospheric conditions. We're going to have no problems whatsoever, no more tears, no more pain. That was what it was like for Adam in the garden. But when Adam fell, the glory departed. You follow me? The glory departed. He lost God's atmosphere of love to some level. But the firmament was still there. The atmospheric conditions that Adam had in the garden were the same after the curse. Same pressure. Same oxygen content. Adam could probably still run miles and miles without wearing out because of those conditions. You have so much oxygenation available to you, you can do so much more human labor, physical acts of strength under those conditions. They now build what they call hyperbaric chambers to accelerate healing for people. Michael Jackson had one. He needed to spend more time in it. Many of the sports franchises now have hyperbaric chambers that replicate these original atmospheric conditions. Double oxygen content, double atmospheric pressure, or some, you know, fraction of it. And they found out when they put the athletes under these conditions, it so oxygenates the blood that healing is accelerated. So acceleration takes place out of being in these atmospheric conditions. This is a key statement. You follow me? Acceleration, healing is accelerated through being under the proper atmospheric conditions. Baby Jessica, who fell in the well, you know, 20 years ago, however long. When they pulled her out, she'd had her feet folded up beside her head and everything, and her legs had turned black and everything. They said they're going to amputate. And somebody says, hey, there's a hyperbaric chamber over. Let's put her in that instead. And within hours, all her color returned. Just by atmospheric conditions. And when Adam fell, he still had the same atmosphere. He just lost the glory in it. You follow me? But where's that firmament today? What happened to it today? Why don't we have those same conditions today? If Adam had it after the fall, why don't we have it today? Well, what happened is because sin kept increasing after Adam's fall. I mean, they're building the Tower of Babel. They're involved in all this sinfulness. And finally, God told Noah, he says, I'm about to destroy the earth. Build an ark. And it talks about when the ark was finished and Noah brought his family and the animals on the ark, that the foundations of the deep were broken up and major disruption hit the planet. And what's believed is that as the geysers of water shot forth from all the water underground, as all the volcanic type explosions took place, it shattered the firmament. In fact, some of the rain that rained for 40 days, 40 nights came from that firmament. It shattered it, and the air that was compressed underneath was released, and we lost our double atmospheric content. And now all of a sudden, man, instead of living 1,000 years, is living 100 years. I mean, the lifespans before the flood were 900 years. And, you know, now it's, I remember as a kid, it was in the 60s. It's gone up since then. What happened? What happened to cause us not to be able to live 1,000 years anymore? The atmosphere shifted. The firmament was destroyed and we lost our atmospheric conditions. So in a flow we have going from Adam on, we have in the glory like God, I mean like in the kingdom, in the same atmosphere, but without God's concentrated presence, and then fully under the influence of no atmosphere. And I believe we can take that picture and go backwards from there and see what God wants to do. He wants to take us to a place where we've had no God, curse effects only, no atmosphere of God, and he wants to take us into the place where we're fully in his glory again under God's atmospheric conditions. Fully in his presence, no curse. But a step along the way is a place of stepping into heaven's atmospheric state without full manifestation of heaven itself. Do you follow me on this? And I believe that's the state God's bringing the church into prior to the rapture. He's bringing us from the place of being oblivious to his presence back into heavenly atmospheric conditions before the rapture. After the rapture, we're in heaven and we're back into Adam's original state of in the glory. But in the meantime, he's going to let us dwell in heaven's atmosphere of glory, but not be fully into that heavenly position where there's no adversary. I mean, before Adam fell, he's got a pet lion. You know? Probably got snakes, you know, around the house as pets. There's no danger from any animal. There are no beasts of the field. After Adam fell, there's enemies. There's danger. You follow me? And God's bringing us to the place where there's still an adversary. There's still beasts that are, you know, a roaring lion are trying to take us out. But yet, we can have heaven's atmosphere around us. Are y'all following me on this morning? I know this is getting out there. But I'm convinced it's the time God's taking us into. We're going into the season of being in the presence and glory of God to manifest ourselves as the sons of God that creation's crying out for. Before the rapture takes place, we are the children of God. Did you catch all this? Turn to John chapter 15. God is restoring a heavenly firmament over his church to concentrate his presence over their lives. And all that want to come under that covering of that firmament. I'm talking, you know, metaphorically now. All that want to come under that covering can live under the influence of God's love like they've never known possible. And when we talk about being in the Spirit, I believe to some level that's what we're talking about is your mind, and not just visiting that realm, but living in that realm of being totally God aware and alert all the time. And again, if you've never been there, I don't know how to make it plain what it's like. But when you're in the Spirit, like John was talking about, you can be sitting there and all of a sudden spiritual information is obvious. You'll see people and know stuff about them. You'll know all that's going on in their lives in the Spirit, boom, like that. Why? Because you're in a realm of no limit. You're in a realm of timelessness. In fact, Friday night we were in prayer and the Lord spoke to me. We were praying in the Holy Ghost and walking back and forth. And the Lord said, right now, as the church is praying, they're praying by the clock. They're targeting praying for the next hour, making it through the night. You know, they're putting in their time, they're praying. And the Lord said, I need you to get focused on praying and moving in that timeless realm. Forget about time. Just come into me. Time will pass. Just come into my presence. Forget about time. And you'll move to that realm where you're oblivious to time. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't. The schedules don't matter. It doesn't matter when you get there. They don't think I'm, you know, going to preach all day because schedules don't matter. It's not what I'm talking about. But it's all about eternity. You're in that eternal realm. So I stopped everybody and says, we're going to get together and we'll pray to go in this realm. We got together and start praying. And I tell you, I'm over there in levels of glory. And I'll be back, knows the time. Levels of glory. Back. And God's taking us where we're just in Him. We'll still have a schedule. We'll still have jobs and stuff we have to do. But we'll be in that realm where it's just God living through us doing it. I hope you guys are following me. But I'm after the supernatural. I'm after what God said belongs to us. And the scriptures make it clear that everything Adam lost at the fall, Jesus Christ returned to us through the cross and much more. Let's go after it. John chapter 15, have you got it? I'm going to read through part of this with what time we have left. But I'm going to do it through the Amplified Version. John chapter 15 is all about abiding in Christ. It's one of my favorite chapters in Scripture because it talks to us about letting Him live in us and through us, amen, and us manifesting His love. So it says in the Amplified, and all the Amplified does is take some of the verbiage of the King James and add further understanding or definition to it. So it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, He cuts away, trims off, takes away. And He cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit, to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. Now here it says, God, or Jesus is the branch, right? He's the vine. And God is the vine dresser. We are the branches. A branch receives its life-giving flow from the vine. Without being connected to the vine, once you cut the branch or the vine, you know, the branch off of the stalk, that branch is dead. You know, I brought my wife roses home the other day just because. And I got them at the store and they were nice and red and, you know, and looked good. And I took them home and she put them in water. Do you know those? They're already dead. When they cut them off the stalk, they were cut off from the life-giving force. They were dead. And it just takes time for that death effect to show up. It takes time for them to go ahead and wither and, you know, be thrown away. And when we're not connected to Jesus in a vital, life-giving fashion, we're walking around as dead men. Withering up, drying up, burning up. Amen. And Jesus said, this shouldn't be. He says, you've got to be connected to me. But it says when you're connected to Him, God's going to prune on you. Amen. Oh, I don't have time to teach this in depth. He's going to trim on you. He's going to talk to you and say, these are things I need out of your life. These are things you need to incorporate into your life, into your habits. Amen. And what he's doing is he's forming us in a fashion he can use us in his kingdom. Amen. And so we have to be branches that God can use. I need to speed this up. Verse 3, you were cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I've discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Notice it's our responsibility first to go after him. Go after God. God says, I'll come in and I will make my habitation in you. Live in me and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from your vital union with me, you can do nothing. Without connection to God and the life-giving power of God, our actions are fruitless. They're forgettable. They're of no eternal value. God wants to live through us. Amen. He says, verse 6, if a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown in the fire and they are burned. I don't remember the exact number. It's something like 1,500 to 15,000 pastors a month are leaving ministry from burnout. When the cause of burnout is obviously not spending enough time with him. It's trying to do the works of God without being connected to God. And any pastor, any minister can fall prey to that. Trying to get stuff done for God versus just be with him. And what God wants us to do is he wants us each, not just pastors, but each of us to learn to be with him. And then he will assign us what to do through his strength and ability to do supernaturally and even naturally. But you do it with his strength and power on you. And guess what? You can do more with him on you than you can do of yourself. You know, I am so amazed at this. And I try to explain to people that haven't done it, and they think, right, you're making that up. But what we call this caffeine anointing? I slept a little bit late Friday morning. I don't know, 9:30, something like that. Or forced myself to just stay laying down because I knew we had all-night prayer. Then I worked all day from 9:30. Till I came in here, worked a coffee shop till I think 10 o'clock or so or close to it, and was busy there. Faith, you left too early. I got slammed. As soon as you went through, I got slammed. Went into all-night prayer and wore out feeling, thinking, I need to just tell Rebecca to take over this. I need a night off. I'm ready for a night just to rest. Because we're just going night after night after night with different stuff. But I knew that was just flesh. And I knew if I skipped, it'd be the best night ever. And I came, and within 5 minutes of starting, I'm totally energized. It is like, I don't know how to explain it. It's like I hooked up to God's battery charger, and energy just flowed through my system. I'm wide awake and alert in the spirit. And I'm talking about ready to wrestle a lion. And was like that all night. You might know what I'm talking about. Because we said we're going to dwell in God and be involved in his business. He supernaturally comes on the scene and says, now I'm going to show you what happens when you do it my way. I'm going to show you what happens when you do it with me. Now I understand, not everybody's assigned to come to Friday night prayer. Don't get condemned if you don't come. I'm just telling what's happening in this assignment with me. So we prayed until about 5. I don't remember, a little after. I know I finished doing stuff around here, went in my office, was reading, and I laid back at 6:11. Looked at the clock, 6:11. Patty comes in at 10, I get up, we open the shop. I've had now 4 hours sleep. Which, you know, sleep. But I'm energized all day. So we work all day. We set up the Bible name and printer machine. We're doing stuff, you know, active all day. I go home about 4 o'clock, and I've got to fix my motorcycle. I had a bearing tear up in the clutch. I went to Harley shop, bought the bearing, and they gave me a diagram. Says, you got to pull all these parts out. I says, can I just reach through this one little cover it's got there and fix it through there? He says, no, you probably can't do that. You'll take this whole side of the motorcycle off, you know, this primary cover, and pull all these parts off and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, my goodness. He said, we'll do it for $150. I said, well, I'd have to put it on a trailer and carry it in for that. I'm going to do it myself. I go home. I take a little cover off. I reach in my little snap ring pry, see a little hole, pull this piece up. The whole thing falls on my hand. I put the new one in. It took 10 minutes. Now, is it supposed to happen like it? I don't know, but it happened for me like that. But I prayed all night. I had the favor of God on my hands. And then I said, okay, let's build, you know, Peggy's has made all these nice flags for us. So I built 2 flag holders, one to go in each column. Hope to fit. That better not be more than 14 inches across. No, that'll make it. Some of them are too big, wasn't it? I made a couple flag holders to hold our flags up on the columns, get them off the floor, you know, and on display. Just energized. There's a time after 4 hours sleep, I'm looking for a bed sometime today. I couldn't have took a nap. I was just wired. Patty comes home. We sit on the couch, watch TV. I made supper. I heated up the leftover mashed potatoes. She goes to bed at about 11:30. I can't sleep. I'm up till about 1:30, just wired up and just... all from just that anointing. Dwelling in Him, and He dwells in you. China and Betty come. Afterwards, they stay overnight in the prayer room, and they stay up for hours talking. Young people, I can't stay up all night like that. You're 40 years old, we got 70-year-olds in there. Or almost 70. 40? 45? Like might have made a mistake there. No. They're staying up all night and then going in there and jabbering for another couple hours. Why? Because that anointing. See, can we take this further? I don't think there's beds in heaven. Oh, you think there are? Oh, I don't think there's beds in heaven. Women, you won't have to make any beds in heaven. Or men. I don't think we'll sleep. We won't need sleep. Because when you connect to heaven's atmosphere, there's a supernatural energizing that doesn't require the physical flesh body to have its 8 hours anymore. And I believe we're tapping into it. Now, is there coming a time the saints won't sleep? Will we in the glory and never sleep? I don't think so. I believe this flesh body will still want some sleep. It'll be required to get some rest. You follow me? But you know what? I don't believe when Moses was on Mount Sinai, I don't believe he ever slept. Just my thought, my own opinion. Didn't have to. If he's not eating and drinking, probably didn't have to sleep either. I like my sleep. No, your flesh likes the sleep. God likes you busy. Active. We have an opportunity to move in to this level of God's presence. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. This whole passage is about, let me turn to my into my Bible here. Moving into the love of God. Amen. Let me turn to it here. Verse 12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love has no man than he lay down his than a man lay down his life for his friends. That's talking not talking about dying. That's about talking about living your life for those you're in covenant with. That word life there is not bios life. It's suke. It means soul. Greater love has no man than this, and he lay down his soul for his friends. You lay down your plans and purposes for God's plans and purposes. But the verse I want to get to, let me find it real quick. Let's just go to verse number 16. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and ordained you that you should go out and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. He says, I have ordained that you bring forth much fruit. You follow me? Now, fruit represents the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience. Fruit represents anything you've manifested by faith. Amen. Anything that you've accessed through connecting with God, that would represent fruit. In other words, fruit is the mature result of having dwelt with God. I believe being in the Spirit is one of the fruits we have access to. We have access to manifest God's presence. Does he say to go after it? Does he tell us to desire to be with him? To be in that presence, to dwell with him?
Yes.
So we have a right to go after accessing being in the Spirit. But he says, I desire that you bear much fruit. And he says, and that your fruit should remain. In other words, you should never be out of it. We should not be having a life where we're walking in love one day and cussing people out the next. You know, where you're hugging at church and you go out and you want to slug somebody. That's not fruit remaining. That would be cyclical fruit. You love God, you hate life. Amen. You love church, you can't stand anybody there. You love Pastor Jack, you love Pastor Jack. I'm in faith. Yeah, you love Pastor Jack, you love Patty. It was never meant to be cyclical. I'm in, I'm out, I'm in, I'm out. And in the same way, us being in there with God, I don't believe is meant to be cyclical. It's to remain. And the more we move into dwelling with him, the more we're going to move into this realm. And I'm going. How about you? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray those that have heard this morning, those that watch it by television, those that watch it on virtual church, that you, by the Spirit of God, are able to make these things plain to them, clear to them, and you create a heart and a desire in them for the supernatural encounters with you. I thank you, Lord God. You are opening doors right now to accelerate us going into your glory, and we choose to go through those doors right now. In Jesus' mighty name.